Welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. The Dodgers are 71-39 after going 4-4 over the last week and a half. They are 15 and a half games ahead of the second place San Francisco Giants. That's been the case most of the seasons, right?
Yep.
So we normally record this on a Monday. We decided to record on Wednesday, trade deadline Wednesday, just expecting to talk about all of the exciting acquisitions that the Dodgers made. The top tier relievers is what we were expecting. I had show notes saying that that's what we're going to be talking about. That didn't happen. We have a few things to talk about, but I don't know how we're going to fill a whole show. But I know who does. Eric Steven, how are you doing?
Hello, I am full of carne asada and ready to podcast.
Well, that's exciting. So we're going to talk. We've got a Cody Bellinger update. We're going to talk about Will Smith. The Dodgers did make a few trades, not the caliber we were expecting, but we're going to talk about those. And then, as always, we have some questions at the end after this ad break.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Not the trade deadline we were expecting.
No. It was very weird. Like, everything was odd. Like,
for a month, I've been saying like two things. I've been beating the drum of the Dodgers are going to make a trade acquisition, and Will Smith will be the starting catcher for the Dodgers. One out of two ain't bad.
Yeah, you nailed the one. And like we've been, I think, I don't know how many consecutive podcasts we talked about when is Will Smith going to take over for Austin Barnes, but it seemed like six or so. And like every time it's like, well, if Barnes has another bad month like he did in June, then they'll kind of have to make the move. And he did, and Will Smith came back up and immediately obliterated any like numbers that Barnes and Martin put up like when they were back. So I have numbers for you, but first a number on Cody Bellinger. His pace, he has not homered in 12 straight games.
That's why I forgot to bring it back up.
Yeah, the bump. Exactly. He's out of sight, out of mind. Like, yeah, who's your MVP now? No, I don't know. It might still be him. It's probably Yelich. Who knows? There's a lot left in the season. But still, even without homering in 12 games, he's on pace for 50 homers, which would beat the Dodgers' home run record by one. He's on pace now for 118 RBIs below the 120 mark. So they're coming back home for a 10-game homestand, perhaps some home cooking, and getting back in his own bed will get those juices flowing. Imagine thinking that he's on pace for 50 home runs and 118 RBIs and going, man, I really hope he picks it up. Like,
and he's, it's not like he's been slumping, right? It's just like, you know, he's been fine. Yeah. He's been good.
Yeah, he's been like, he's hit a few doubles. But yeah, like not terrible. He's walked a bunch. He just hasn't really slugged. And that comes with no home runs, so no big deal. But the big slugger, Will Smith. it's just so funny. Like, I mean, you always try to like temper the expectations, right? Like, because everyone, the backup quarterback syndrome is like, whoever's like not the current starter is always like a million times better than the starter. Everyone wants to make a change, and then all of a sudden the new guy slumps, and you're like, wait a minute, what did we do? And then so you sort of want to guard against that. But like Barnes was hitting so poorly that they sort of had to make a change. And just to give you some numbers. So Barnes in June was 6-44, 419 OPS. In July, he was 7-43, 469 OPS. And then they sent him down to AAA before the series against the Nationals over the weekend. Will Smith has started 4 of the 6 games since he got called up. And he's 6-13 in those games. 2 home runs, including a 3-run home run today in the 9th inning. That was the go-ahead shot. Believe it or not, the Rockies and Dodgers played a game that was 0-0 entering the 9th inning today. Very odd. But Will Smith, with also 3 doubles in those 4 games, he has 5 extra base hits and 6 hits in his 4 games. Austin Barnes in his last 2 months had 5 extra base hits. So Will Smith has already tied Austin Barnes for the season in home runs with 5, and he's played roughly like 2 weeks in the majors at most. So pretty amazing, like just return for Will Smith. He drove in 6 his first day back. Just awesome. And like he's, you know, sort of taking the reins. He's going to be the regular catcher going forward. Dave Roberts said that. So sort of expect that. I would imagine Barnes will be back in September, and we'll see if he can sort of play his way onto the playoff roster. But we're so far removed from that right now. Like there's like so much to sort out with the current roster that it's like playoff roster. It's on the mind right now because of just how you sort of think about things. But there's so much like to sort out first before we get there.
Yeah, and Austin Barnes certainly will be up in September. The 3rd catcher is kind of a given, especially since the Dodgers traded away Dodger All-Star Rocky Gale at the deadline.
And he went to the Rays for cash. So that clear. Oh, he was already off the 40-man. They designated him for assignment last week. So, but the fact that they traded him to the Rays, he gets to join fellow former Dodger Travis d'Arnaud. Travis d'Arnaud, who I can't say his name, whatever. He has 13 home runs in 50 games with the Rays. And so, like, it's like every Dodger other than Austin Barnes and Russell Martin are hitting. Every Dodger catcher besides those two are hitting. Although Russell Martin hit an absolute mammoth shot to right field yesterday. And, like, I don't know if I'd call it a bat flip, but his reaction to it was, like, almost like the most animated I've seen him on a home run since like the 4+1 game. It was pretty crazy.
So as 2 weeks ago, the Dodgers team had 2 glaring weaknesses on an otherwise very deep, very stacked team. Catcher, which we've talked about, and the bullpen, which we were, they'll figure it out on Wednesday on the trade deadline. Sort of addressed it today, not in the way we were expecting. Let's go over the trades and talk a little bit. I know you wanted to start with Jerko, but can we talk about the bullpen for a little bit?
Yeah. I actually lined it up a little bit so to get the bullpen out of the way first, or at least the Dodger part of who they got. So, but first, who they didn't get, Felipe Vasquez didn't go anywhere. The Pirates, there were reports that the Pirates were like steadfast in wanting. Like the Dodgers weren't going to part with Gavin Lux, and they wanted like K. Bear Ruiz and Dustin May, And the Dodgers, like, understandably were like, yeah, no, that's not happening. So who knows?
Especially when Dustin May could be a part of the solution, either directly or indirectly, for the bullpen. I know in the regular – we'll talk about this a little bit later on. He'll be called up on Friday to start. Yeah. But could even factor into the playoffs depending on how – like the Rich Hill situation, a few other things work out. So trading Dustin May just didn't seem like it would line up with their plans at all.
Right, and it's like they always talk about the last few years. They've talked about providing a runway for these rookies to come in and sort of thrive. And like we've seen it, like they brought up Tony Gonsolin. He had a 4-inning save. We'll talk about him a little bit. They Matt Beatty. Alex Verdugo is basically a regular, but Matt Beatty, Edwin Rios, Will Smith, obviously, Kyle Garlick. They've just brought up all these rookies, and they've all contributed. And like Dustin May is like I said, he's going to start Friday. And who knows how many starts he's going to make, but eventually he could end up in the bullpen. But just to get back to the relievers who didn't get dealt, Edwin Diaz was possibly rumored, but
no. The Mets are buying.
That's right. Well, yeah, I don't get them.
From Sissy who wanted to know why the Mets are. No one knows is the answer. No one can explain the Mets.
They think they can contend, but they can't until next year. They're done this year. But they did get better for next year, so that's fine. They got Marcus Stroman, and they traded away Jason Vargas, but who cares? They kept Noah Syndergaard, so their rotation is going to be stacked again next year. And it's just a matter of if they can keep everybody healthy around them. So, and then also Ken Giles was dealing with an elbow thing, I believe, and the Blue Jays did not trade him. They traded away a bunch of people, but not Ken Giles. So, Jake Diekman went elsewhere to the A's. I'm completely blanking on Shane Green was in the guy with the minuscule ERA, but the peripherals that didn't quite back it up with the Tigers. He ended up going to the Braves.
I was convinced the Dodgers would get Shane Green just because he seemed like the perfect candidate to blow up in their face.
So the one reliever they did trade for, well, besides Jed Jerko, who you reminded me has faced one batter this season. And
strikeout. Out.
So he has the negative best FIP in baseball. Yeah, exactly. The Dodgers really did get two pitchers today. Let's remember this. Adam Kolarik from the Tampa Bay Rays. The Dodgers sent Nico Holsizer, an outfielder. We talked about him briefly last week because we were talking about how many home runs Will Smith and Gavin Lux had hit. And Holsizer was right behind them in the a little bit lower levels than the aforementioned previous two, but he goes to the Rays. The Dodgers get Kolarik. He's a left-hander. He's 30. Decent numbers, but his big thing is he's a lefty, and he's pitched 3 years in the majors, and he's gotten lefties out. His lefties against him in his career, 209, 257 on base, 302 slugging. It's only 148 plate appearances. He doesn't strike out anybody, but he also doesn't walk anybody. It's 26 strikeouts and just 3 walks. But his big thing is he's a ground ball guy. So he's basically better Scott Alexander with better control. His ground ball rate is 64.3% this year, 61% career. So he's the guy who's going to be a loogie / need a double play guy, I think. And we'll see how the Dodgers sort of use him. It's only his third year. He's not really making anything. They did get Jed Giorko today, former Padre, but he really was sort of came into his own with the Cardinals. He had three productive years the last 3 years. He averaged 2.9 WAR. He was a 111 OPS. He was above average hitter every single year. But he started off this year slumping. He's only 11 for 56, but he also got hurt. He was on the DL with what they call, I think the wrist injury is the bigger thing, right wrist. And a back strain. They actually put him on the 60-day DL. He's eligible to come off next week, August 7th. So that deal was a weird swap in that Tony Cingrani went the other way. Cingrani was already on the 60-day DL with the Dodgers. So at the moment, they don't need to do anything on the 40-man because they both just take this nebulous spot. But next week that he'll, they say he could be ready by then or maybe a little after. But like all of a sudden we sort of find the Dodgers, I don't know, they're like, their infield depth has taken a hit. Like we talked about, you know, Chris Taylor has the wrist thing. He's probably, his initial diagnosis was 4 to 6 weeks. So that's putting him closer to September. Kike Hernandez has a hand. I forget what they're calling it. He has basically a wrap on his wrist as well. He could miss like a month. They're really vague about what his injury is. But all of a sudden, like the debate was, oh man, they don't really have a backup shortstop. Like they literally kept Kike Hernandez on the roster all weekend in Washington D.C. because he couldn't bat, but he could play defense, and they just wanted protection in case Corey Seager had to leave a game or something. And they fixed that sort of by they traded for Christopher Negron from the Mariners, an infield sort of a utility man. He's 33. One of my favorite things, he has 7 career home runs, including 1 home run from in 87 major league games from 2015 through this year with Seattle. And he has 2 starts with the Dodgers and 2 home runs. So welcome, Chris Taylor.
Yeah, this season in Coors will certainly help, but hey, it was cool to see.
Right, exactly. Both are in Coors, but still, he actually hit pretty well in Tacoma. He's been like a pretty productive like Triple A hitter. Daniel Castro was a non-40 man infielder in Triple A, but he didn't hit at all. And you got to remember, like Triple A this year, the balls are just crazy. They're like super balls. So if you're putting up like a 700 or worse OPS, like in Triple A, you have problems. So and that's sort of the thing with Castro, and that's also the reason like Drew Jackson hasn't really impressed, who another guy not on the 40 man, but who could have played short. Jake Peter, if you had to stretch, similar thing, not really impressing. Gavin Lux was the other sort of like, why don't they just call him up? And I think the thing was, as usual, they don't really want to call someone up to just sit the bench. They'll do it out of necessity if they have to. But that spot was really, I think they're going to rely on Max Muncy a lot more at second. You'll get Negron actually started 2 of his first 3 games, but I think it's more of they were filling in and as they do. But I think if they're calling Gavin Lux up, it's like if Corey Seager gets injured or something, or if Max Muncy got injured and they needed someone to play second or short on a regular basis. And I think then they would call him up, but not before then. So that was sort of the scuttlebutt. They also traded for Tyler White. David Freese got injured again. Another hamstring thing. He was back, only played back for about 12 games, and then he's back on the DL again. So this is just insurance for that, I think, just a righty who sort of mashes lefties. He wasn't hitting at all this year in Houston, but he was the previous, like, 2 years with them. So who knows what they're going to get. Both Negron and White are out of options, so... To me, this sounds like I think they're probably going to end up slow playing all these injuries, like Freeze, maybe not Freeze, maybe. But then, like I would imagine, Kike and Chris Taylor, they'll just be like, let's wait until you're fully healthy. And September 1st sounds like a date you'll be fully healthy, and then the rosters expand, that kind of a thing. So, but then Jericho eases the burden there too. He could play second, he could play third, and the deal with him, like he's making like $13 million this year, and all of a sudden you're thinking this could like hurt the Dodgers with the cap, but not really, because one, they sent away Singrani, who was making 2.65, and we're only talking about a fraction of this, so it's like roughly a third of the salaries going forward. But Jerko is on the last year of a 6-year deal, and his CBT number was like 5.9 million. So relatively low, and then it's really only a third of that. Plus, the Cardinals are sending about 2.9 million in that deal to sort of balance out some of the cash. But from a luxury tax standpoint, the Dodgers' luxury tax number with the Jerko deal actually went down. I haven't looked at the final numbers yet, but I think it goes down by almost like $2 million, which is odd. But
I have a question, because this is a thing I didn't have time to look into. Is Jericho a guy? Because when Kiki and Chris Taylor are healthy, there's no room for him outside of the expanded rosters. If they get healthy quicker, are they just going to go, no, we want, like, do you think they value Jericho enough that they would are going to try to keep him on the roster as long as possible, even if it means really slow playing the injuries? I know you mentioned they would probably do that, but it seems a little far-fetched to me that they would extend it that far.
Well, here's the deal, though. I'm not sure what Jericho's status is, but another injury they might slow play is his, because he hasn't played since early June. So, they could wait till September on him, too. I think these are all just, like, they're going to throw things together in a pot and see what sticks.
And
you
with
know?
The lead they have, they certainly can afford to do that. Like, can afford to run not the optimum 25 for, especially since it's looking like at most it would be 2 weeks. So
yeah. And Tyler White, he got his first start on Tuesday, and he delivered a 2-run single. So like, it almost feels like
they're rebuilding a spring training roster,
right?
And it's all just to figure out who the final 25 is come playoff time.
Yeah. So. I guess just to do some accounting here, not the money kind of accounting, but just looking at sort of the roster to make room for Kolarik, I guess. Brock Stewart was claimed by the Blue Jays. He was sort of thought of as, you know, definitely someone who could have been designated for assignment and or traded. And, he, you know, basically was he was claimed by the Blue Jays. So he had a bad year in AAA and really hasn't been the same since a couple years ago when he had that shoulder injury. Unfortunate for him, but maybe he'll get a fresh start. He went through a thing where he was optioned like, I think the total was like 18 times in 3 seasons, or he went up and down. And for really from his major league debut until some point mid last year, it was really up and down 16 times in like about 2 years, which is crazy. So he's a frequent flyer, and he'll be going to Toronto now.
All right. So with one minor acquisition today, knowledge that the Dodgers are willing to call up Dustin May and that they will be doing that on Friday, along with Gonsolin making you happy, I know, with a 4-inning save.
It's the closest thing in the regular season we'll get to a spring training tie. I love it.
We did an episode about this, but let's kind of do a revisit, because I think you had two solid bullpen arms coming across the way.
Oh yeah,
when we talked about a playoff bullpen.
I think we arrived at a point where we were like, well, it's going to be like nine. It's going to be a 9-man, group outside of those 3 starters, and we filled 6 of those, and it was like Rich Hill was a question mark, and then it was like, well, clearly they're adding 2 relievers, so that takes 2 of the 3, but like, nope. Yeah.
So let's redo this. Let's keep the same parameters. We need 9 names to fill, because we're not counting Bueller, Ryu, or Kershaw.
Right.
So we need 9 names. What does it look like to you?
So I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb, and I'm going to say Jansen, Kenley Jansen.
You know, there are some fans that would yell at you, but right. We'll ignore them.
I'm just going to, he's making the team. I think, and then he'll be set up by the usual duo of Pedro Baez and Joe Kelly, who threw scoreless innings today, in a 0-0 game. Jansen, he ended up finishing
it's
off.
Really
the game.
Interesting. If you look at Kelly's numbers, I think since May 8th, I think it's really, really good.
Right there. And there was a thing there where, for the first month of that, or maybe close to the first month of that, they were still sort of like,
if you go since June, they're very, very good. But even he started being fine or better way earlier than I remembered. Yes, now, a lot of that was they were nursing him in May, so it was kind of easier to forget. But
also he's pitching like higher leverage and still like maintaining it. He's still like, there's times where he seems like he has no idea where the ball's going, but it's like it's also going like 107 or whatever he throws, you know.
That's pretty
that might
good
be slightly
too,
exaggerated. Yeah. Okay. So Jansen, Baez, Kelly. You figure, I just just putting this in there, like Urias and Maeda. And again, this is sort of a hybrid in that we remember they still have to have a game four starter. And like these two could easily fill that. And I would, Stripling is in that mix too. I have him as my sixth guy, you know? But like, there's been times when they leave him off. Like, it really depends on how he's pitching. But I think for now he's on. He's on the DL right now too. Has a right bicep thing. It sounds like a shorter term thing, but that's one of the reasons why May is coming up Friday. Gonsolin came up Tuesday, and Urias ended up getting that start, but went a shorter game. They used him, Casey Sadler, and then Tony Gonsolin got the four outs the four innings for the save. So those are my six, and then I guess you have to put Kolarik in there now, I would imagine, because he's their like key lefty. So that's seven, and then now we just have to fill two more spots.
So let's talk about those last two after this ad break.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So we have two names left. When we did this last time, I brought up Sadler as a name I was pretty confident was going to make the playoff roster. Since then, he's continued to be pretty good. Are you a believer now?
I would put him, for me, he's in the mix, at least like talking about getting a spot.
Hater.
But it's more like, I think I put him like sort of almost competing, and this is unfair to Stripling, but it's like, it really depends on how they're throwing at the time. He gives them a bulk guy like Stripling would. So he's sort of competing with Stripling and Dylan Floro for me, maybe for one spot, maybe for two. I don't know.
It's like Stripling, May, Sadler, and Gonsolin for two spots. Am I missing it? I feel like I always forget
Floro.
I think it was Floro I forgot last time too.
No, but that's right. I mean, it's basically that. You're right. Like, it's those. So if we have. Yeah, if we move Kolarik up, let's say Kolarik is the sixth guy after
Dodgers want that loogie. Like, I think they want someone that they can leave just for the left hand. Because they were it was weird. Urias was both this reliever that could go more than an inning, but they were also sometimes using him in that sort of a loogie spot. Like, come and get a key lefty out and then keep going. Yeah. So freeing Urias up from that responsibility, I think, is really attractive to them.
And so you have Gonsolin and May, both like throw like the hardest out of this group, like they can hit like 98, and with pretty sick other stuff. So I think one of them is probably in. It's one of those like who's going to pitch the best. And then Floro's had periods where he's been a trusted guy. And he sort of took a rest there he went on the DL. It was an injury, but it was more like just to get him rest his arm a little bit. So if he's pitching back into that trust, he has an inside shot at one of those spots. But otherwise, it's Stripling or Sadler. But yeah, it's there's competition there. But we'll see how May does, because like he could struggle. As a starter, at least first, but then if they at some point in August, like start easing him in.
Yeah, this is definitely reminiscent of I feel like we've had this conversation with Walker Buehler 2 years ago, and you get flashes back to Adam Wainwright, and that's what you want to see, is this just, you know, someone that's going to be a starter but becomes dominant in a playoff run and a relief role. And boy, could the Dodgers use that, but we have no idea how he's going to perform.
I'm trying to think who. I guess the Phillies would have to get hot, and then they'd have to make the playoffs. And then, like, Dustin May curveball could finish off Bryce Harper to end a series or something. I was trying to think who could play the Carlos Beltran role to May's Adam Wainwright. That's a fun thing to think about. It's you're right. Like, he literally hasn't pitched in the majors yet. Gonsolin's pitched two games, so these guys certainly aren't locks for the postseason, but their stuff is amazing. And if they can sort of adapt to that role, I think there's a shot for at least one of them in October.
Okay, we've covered a lot of transactions and potential transactions today. I'm forgetting a couple of the smaller ones. I know they're somewhere on this sheet I have. I know your memory is way better than mine when it comes to this. What am I missing?
I was also taking notes. The other thing is, like, minor league deals are very tough to, like, track. They often go underreported for a while. Like, for instance, Tyler Thornburg, he actually signed with the Dodgers on July 13th, but I think he was working, must have been rehabbing in Arizona or something. He's been injured part of the year. He's had, like, a rough couple years. Like, he missed a season and a half, like 2017-18, after a thoracic outlet surgery. He's had a hip injury a little this year. He's really bad in his brief time with Boston. They got rid of him, and he's only pitched like 43 innings in the last 2 years combined with a 6.54 ERA. So it's really more of a lottery ticket. He was really good when he was with the Brewers, struck out a lot. So he's pitched once so far for Oklahoma City. He just joined them. He pitched Tuesday. And, you know, he's another guy. If things go right, maybe, you know, a possibility. But, again, more of a long shot if we're talking like October. But maybe even to reach the majors, that's someone you sort of think about. But at the same time, there are some 40-man concerns. If you can't, like, add everybody at this point. So we'll see how they sort of handle that. The other thing, Zach Roscup, who they designated for assignment on July 15th, they – sent him outright to the minors on July 20th, and he was still in Oklahoma City. He was actually traded to the Cardinals on Monday, and he was sent by the Cardinals to AAA. If he makes the majors this year with them, that'll be four teams in 1 year, Blue Jays, Mariners, Dodgers, and Cardinals. The MLB record is five, and that was by Oliver Drake just last year. So I guess with no trades after July 31st, he'd have to be, like, released and then signed by some other team to tie Oliver Drake's record. But I'm always rooting for offbeat records like this.
Well, I think that wraps up the news. So I think certainly shorter than either you or I were expecting. But we have a couple more things. Normally we do emails from Craig, Twitter questions we have, and then we end on the Dodgers Rewind. Since it has to do with the deadline, I think we're going to start with the Dodgers Rewind first.
Yeah, I was looking back at some deadline deals on some of the anniversary years, and one that sort of stood out. I mean, I don't know. I try to find obscure guys. It's, you know, it's not like, I guess Manny was 2008, but we're not going to do, like, necessarily Manny Ramirez. I mean, we might one day, but
20 years
for
now.
Yeah, and so in 1989, 2 weeks before the trade deadline, the Dodgers, who were coming off a World Series win the previous year, they were sort of struggling, though, in 89, but they traded Tim Leary, who won 17 games for the 88 team. They traded him and Mariano Duncan to the Reds. They got Lenny Harris and Cal Bosky Daniels. So he goes by Cal. Cal Daniels is this week's Dodger Rewind. He's like Lenny Harris is the most remembered name of those of that group that the Dodgers got. I think mostly because he has like he had the all-time pinch hit record, and he was sort of a affable guy, and like he played for a lot of teams and was pretty famous. Cal Daniels was like a pretty good hitter, but he was never healthy. He had bad knees. He had like one really good year with the Dodgers, 1990. The same year that Eddie Murray had the highest batting average in the majors and got robbed of the batting title. Not that I bring that up all the time. But 1990, he hit 27 home runs. He had a, four something more. I don't have it in front of me. I should have had it in front of me, but his 155 OPS plus since the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles, 1958, how many different LA Dodger hitters have put up a 155 OPS plus or higher?
Let's see. One, two, and now we're not counting Bellinger.
We're not, because, well, A, the season's not over, so we don't know what his final number is.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, yeah. But yeah, qualified at bats only.
Okay. My answer is 7.
I will give you partial credit because it's 7 other than Cal Daniels. It's 8.
Okay. that's what I meant. Yeah clearly. Not just pulling the guess out of nowhere.
His career OPS plus with the Dodgers, or no, overall was 138. He played with the Reds before. He never played more than, I think, 140 games in a season, and he only did, 123 times. So he just had bad knees. But his 138 OPS plus is top 90 in MLB history. But I lowered that to minimum 2,500 plate appearances because he only has about 2,700 plate appearances total. He had bad knees. He was done by age 29 in 1992. Only 727 career games. He's one of those what-if guys, what if they were healthy? Because he was a really, really good player. And sort of in my formative years watching the team, just thinking he could be really good. And then he wasn't. And then 92 was when the Dodgers had the triple threat outfield of Daryl Strawberry, who was in his second year. Same with Brett Butler, also in his second year with the Dodgers. And they just got Eric Davis that offseason. So they had those three in the outfield, and it moved Cal Daniels to first base. He was unhappy about his playing time that year, mostly because of that. But that team was a disaster. They all underperformed. Butler was still pretty good. But and then Daniels ended up getting traded in, I think, in July or something. And then he was done at the end of that year. So too bad.
Well, we're going to end this show as we used to end the show all the time before we started doing these rewinds, which I've been really enjoying. And I'm going to yell at you every time you come to an episode without one.
I actually forgot about it until yesterday, but I was I thought about it last week and I was going to do Cal Daniels. And then I was I don't know. And I'm I'm going to do Cal Daniels. So.
Well, good. You avoided an admonishment. So 5 questions. Yay. Craig does want us to know that we talked about this last week. He went to Beer Belly in LA, was going to order one last thing, wanted to know if it was going to be the grilled cheese or the wings. We told him to eat both. He ate both.
Nice. And he did say he put bacon. He had bacon in the grilled cheese. It's fine.
That counts. That counts as long as it doesn't dominate.
Yeah. It was an accessory. It's fine.
The first question is a technical one that maybe Eric, you already answered, but knowing that there will be players designated for assignment during the next 2 months, since trades can't be done, how will that work?
I haven't looked at this fully. I'm pretty sure it's that there can still be trades, but what? there can only be guys off the 40 man. So they don't matter.
Wow.
I mean, it's there, but I think still players will still be getting designated for assignment and released and stuff. So, but honestly, these are flyer people. It's Daniel Hudson with Ryan Madsen with his arm held together by, bailing wire and string. So, it's hard to see anybody impactful being sort of available in August, but we'll see. Who knows?
Second question. With 53 games left in the season, Cody Bellinger looks to be on pace to set a new LA Dodgers season record in both WAR and in home run. So he wants us to pick one of the three scenarios. Bellinger sets or breaks both the records. He breaks neither of them, or he breaks just one of them. So the two records are Beltre's 9.6 baseball reference WAR or Sean Green's 49 home runs.
So he's at 34 home runs. He was at 6.8 WAR before Wednesday's game. He stagnated a little in the WAR. That said, I think he's going to break one of them only, and it's going to be WAR.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. But I think he's going to fall short 46 or 47 home runs or something.
Third question. Christian Yelich has 36 home runs and 23 stolen bases. I know Eric loves 30-30 players, and Yelich has a chance to join Beltran, Bobby Bonds, Alfonso Soriano, and Mike Trout as the only players to have both a 30-30 season while having 90% success rate in stolen bases. His question is, will he do it, and what will his final home run and stolen base numbers be?
I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep up 90%. It's one of those things where maybe if he's getting closer to 30 steals at the end and he maybe wants to get to 30-30, he gets a little more aggressive, so he gets caught a couple times. But I think he ends up with 32 steals. 31 steals. And he's going to fall short of 50. He's going to end up with 48 home runs. There's never been a 50-30 player. There's been 30-50, but not 50 home runs, 30 steals. So I'd like him to get that, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I have exactly. You are a fan of 30-30. I'm a fan of round numbers. 50 home runs, 30 stolen bases. I make no claim on what that success rate is going to look like. So I'm absconding from that question, but
I like it.
Fourth question. 2002 is the only season with four teams with 100 or more losses. Right now, Detroit and Baltimore will certainly lose 100 or more games. His question is, will Kansas City, Toronto, and or Miami join those two teams to match the 2002 season?
Yeah, they're... I'm trying to think here. I think we're gonna get a lot of... I'm just talking like an idiot right now. I think we're going to have a lot of teams get to 100 losses. Miami is actually above better than the 100 loss marker right now. So they're actually looking okay. The Blue Jays are straddling it. So,
and they just moved away a lot of assets over the last week. So I think Kansas City and Toronto both will.
Yeah. I think we'll get at least four, but I like to see records fall, so let's go for five.
The final question. Craig is probably eating at the screen door when he records this, which is not true. We recorded later than he was expecting, I think. That's in Portland, Oregon. It's one of my favorite restaurants in America. And he wants to know, there's a famous item there. I bicker with this a little bit because I think they have they have two items that I think are even more famous. But he's talking about the fried chicken and sweet potato waffle at Screen Door in Portland. And he wants to know, when you do go to a place like that, do you always eat that famous item or do you try to get something else?
I mean, look, I'm not a worldly man. I guess I don't go to enough places, but you have to get the main thing, right? Like what they're known for. If it's like something that's like they're famous for, I think you have to get that. Like the one thing I can think of that, and I was actually with Craig in spring training years ago, we went to Matt's Big Breakfast in Phoenix.
Yep.
And I got the chop and chick, which is a big giant pork chop and eggs. And it was delicious. I guess I don't go to that many restaurants that are I guess what Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, it's like, of course, it's chicken and waffles. But, like, I think you got to get what they're known for, I think, if they have a signature dish.
You ever see someone try to order chicken fingers at In-N-Out?
No.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times. It's been funny. So my general rule of thumb is, one, for instance, here, I've never ordered the fried chicken and waffle at Screen Door, and I've been 10 or so times now. I think they are known for the fried chicken, but I usually get they've changed the name of this item a few different times, but it's basically a biscuit and fried chicken, quote unquote, sandwich smothered in gravy. So it ends up just being biscuits and gravy with a fried chicken the side. And that, because it's a Southern food restaurant in Portland. So to me, Southern style gravy is just one of my favorite things ever. So,
yeah.
And I think it's close enough. I think praline bacon is the other thing they're really known for, if anyone's in Oregon and wants to go to this place. But that said, if something is well-known enough and it's really, really famous, I think you should at least try it. So ideally, you're going with a big enough group, four, five, six people, and someone orders it and lets you try a bite. And then you can get whatever you want.
Or comedian Ian Carmel, who like is from Portland, which brings us full circle. I've seen him promote this. I don't know how long he's done it, but it's pretty funny. He's a big advocate of pancakes for the table, he calls it, where if he just goes out to a meal with people, he'll order pancakes, like communal pancakes for
I love it
the table to share. And
who can
I
finish
like
a whole
idea.
Thing of pancakes? I never can. I love pancakes, but if I just order it, I'll have what looks like a quarter of the plate, and then I'll be full.
Yeah, it's a genius move, and it's good for like socializing. So I'm all for it. I was trying to think. You threw me with the In-N-Out question. I worked there for like 2 years in high school and then college.
That's why I
asked. I was trying to think now. I don't think anyone ever. I'm. You know what? Now that I think about it, I'm certain people asked like, do you have a chicken sandwich or something? And I guess I wasn't thinking about it, but yeah. And like, we just go, no, this is our menu. You know, we have burgers and fries and that's kind of it. And then they're like frustrated. But like, I always would laugh at people like in line and they're just like staring at the menu. Like it's like the hardest thing in the world. And it's like, it's just a burger.
I wonder
fries.
How many like, of those are like looking for animal style and they just can't see it. And they're so confused. I'm trying to have a little empathy for these people.
Yeah,
they
yeah,
probably just were like, you know, do I want the chocolate shake or the vanilla? And the answer
you know
is
what?
Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never had a chocolate shake in and out. I'm not a chocolate shake person in general. I was always a strawberry shake. That said, not a big fan of In-N-Out's actual shakes, but they're okay. And what I did, I like that they use real ice cream.
Yeah, they're not
bad. Well, a mix. It's a mix. But yeah, like what I used to do there for meals, I would half fill up a – no, wait. What is it? Oh, yeah. I guess half fill up a strawberry shake and then pour milk in there. And then so it's like, so it's like a, I don't know, what is that? Like a smoothie? That's consistency.
It's good for you then.
Yeah, fruit? Exactly. Yeah, I was I'm getting my calcium. Yeah. So there you go.
Well, and as we tend to be when we finish the food question, we're hungry. So I'm going to go eat something.
I still have leftover carne asada, so I'm going to finish that as well.
I'm jealous.
And I hope you all out there enjoyed this super fun trade deadline. Maybe it didn't meet your expectations, but go out and get your favorite meal somewhere and enjoy that instead. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.